aliens.
I didn't have anything to do with Don's disappearance.
There's no question but that he was murdered.
So you, like me, are convinced he's dead. He's not just missing. He's dead.
As we say in the South, DRT, dead right there.
So we're going to talk about Don Lewis, Carol Baskin,
and the Tiger King.
So first we're going to start off talking about Carol, which makes me think of the TikTok song.
Carol Baskin
killed her husband.
Whacked him.
Can't convince me
that it didn't happen.
Set him to tigers.
What's happening?
Carol Baskin. We got it. So,
okay, that's what you want to say.
Hey, compared
to... I didn't say it was good.
Compared to when we first originally tried to record this back March-ish.
Oh my God.
We struggled getting that out.
Yeah. We're like, hold up, TikTok. Oh, we missed that.
So we did pretty good. Carol started off as Carol Jones. She was born June 6th. Ooh, her birthday's like...
in her past.
Oh, yeah, it is. I was thinking...
It was a month ago.
I still keep thinking that it's June.
No.
They're like the beginning of June. Like, where has this year gone?
Hello, July. Are they married?
I know, but I'm still thinking, like, June, like, it just... So, Carol was born on June 6th, 1961, in Lackeer Air Force Base, I think I'm saying that right, in Texas. But she dreamed about growing up to be a veterinarian. And then as she got older, she was like, nope. Because she didn't want to put no animals to sleep. So that was like the main reason she never went to become a veterinarian.
Gotcha.
She's like, I just can't put them to sleep. I'll just have them roam my backyard all day long. But I'm not going to put them to sleep.
I'll rescue them.
Yeah. So when she was 14, if anybody who watched the Joe Exotic documentary, a lot of these things is facts from it, then there's like little bit added. But when she was 14, she was raped by three guys who lived near her. Then she dropped out of high school. And during this time, she was hitchhiking back and forth from Florida to Maine.
Hitchhiking?
Yeah, it said she would hitchhike.
That's a long freaking way.
During the time of, like, her hitchhiking and when she'd get rides to go places. So she would sleep under parked cars. And then, eventually, she got her own truck. So she started sleeping in a truck. After she returned back to Florida, she got a job in Tampa working at a department store. And she started dating her boss named Michael. The guy that looks like a.k.a. Jeff Lowe back in the day.
Maybe it is Jeff Lowe. Mm. Who's to say?
Exactly. At the age 17, they moved in together. They got married in April. And they had their daughter, Jamie, July 16th, 1980.
Her birthday is coming up.
That it is. The events that I'm about to tell you, like I said, if you watch the documentary, a lot of them's from that. Also, I learned a lot of things from the Joe Exotic Tiger King podcast, Crime Story podcast, and Murder Squad, so check them out. But we're going to jump into the night that Carol met Don. So, before the two met, Carol was in her kitchen peeling potatoes with her now ex-husband. They started getting in a fight and Michael was going toward Carol. So she lunged a potato at him.
I mean, you don't do that when you get mad?
No.
I don't cook and I don't cook potatoes, so I don't do that. But if you do cook and you got in a fight, I mean, I guess potatoes better than enough.
True. So she's like, and this is... would be me for sure, because I always tell Anthony, I'm like, I just want to put you sometimes. He's like,
at least you think it and not do it.
Exactly. And he's always just like, oh, you better run if you do. Well, Carol was like the same thing. When she threw that potato, she's like, oh snap, I need to run. So she's like, if I don't run, I'm gonna be beat to death. And so she just took off running. And so eventually she's just like walking down the road. Y'all, no other podcast mentioned this, and I'm going to mention this because I'm just like, what in the world? She left Jamie.
Her daughter.
Like, during that fight, she
But didn't you also say that she always said that she didn't feel like a mother?
Yes, but still, that's...
How old was her daughter?
Just a few years old. Like, a baby.
I couldn't imagine.
Like a toddler. I don't know if... I would say under the age of five is when that happened. But Carol is running down the road barefoot and a vehicle pulls up and this scraggly old man says, "Hey, do you want a ride?" And Carol says, "Nope. No, I do not." Do you know who that scraggly old man was?
Don Lewis.
Oh, yeah. It was Don Lewis. And in the way they meet...
It's psychotic.
It's psychotic. And it is the way that most podcast murders cases begin. Or like a missing case happens. Because... when he pulls back around, he has a gun sitting next to him. And he says, "Hey, you might be nervous, but you can hold this gun on me."
Yeah, I just know you're safe. I open the door, he grabs a gun, and he shoots me. That's my logic. That's what I think. Not, okay, I feel safe. Mm-hmm. No.
Well, the crazy chick was just like, what an act of trust. Okay.
But this was also back in when?
In, I would say early 90s.
So before the world was late 80s. Chaotic and crazy as today.
Yeah.
But still, no.
Yeah. So, the two are riding around for a while. Don tells Carol that his name is Bob Martin. He worked for a man named Don Lewis. And he said that him and his wife were in a fight and they were splitting up. So... little flash forward when Carol and Don were like dating. She was told to call his work and ask for him there. And I guess back then they didn't really have cell phones. So one day she calls and the lady answers the phone and Carol says, "Hey, can I speak to Bob Martin?" The lady says, "Bob Martin doesn't work here. Can you describe who you're looking for?" And Carol goes and she's given a description of who she's looking for and the lady just chuckles and says, "Are you talking about John Lewis?" And I don't know why I find that funny.
But I feel like even though you're recording it thinking of somebody, you're all like, "Oh, this sweet little innocent secretary." And it's like, "Oh." Like,
it's like, John Lewis, he's busted. Back to Carol and Don in the car. So, as they're driving down, just chit-chatting, Don pulls over on the side of the road, wraps his hands around her neck, and says, "You know I could take the life out of you right now."
Absolutely not. She had a gun, he didn't get shot.
Carol just stares at him, and then he starts massaging her shoulders. And then he's like, "Hey, do you want to stay the night with me?"
Absolutely not.
And as everybody knows, they stayed at some hotel in the documentary. And I'm just like, no, 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 no. I'm like, one, you have the gun, so no. Two, you done choked me.
And three, you just got out of an abusive relationship running because you threw a potato at your psycho ex.
That's like,
so, yeah, let's go ahead and jump into this abusive relationship that I ain't even started. No.
But Anthony, when I was telling Anthony about this the other night, he's just like, "I wonder if she knew that he had money." And I was just kind of like, "Oh, well, I'll get his money anyway." And I'm like, maybe, because I feel like if somebody said, "Oh, I'll check the life out of you right now," that'd be like, deuces!
But he was Bob.
Yeah, but if she knew he was at Bob.
I know, but still, how long were they married before he went missing? Because, I mean, would she really plot that way far in advance? To, I'm going to end up marrying this guy and taking all his money.
They got married in 91 and he went missing in, I'm trying to think what year real quick. Let's see. A 7-year period.
No, that wouldn't.
So, Anthony.
You're wrong. You're wrong for that.
So, But the two became a couple, even though they were both still married. They still secretly, probably not really secretly, dated on the side. We're going to learn a little bit more about Don. So, Jack Don Lewis, or more known as Don Lewis, was born on April 30th, 1938 in Florida. And when he was 17 years old, he worked as a bagger at a grocery store. And that's when he spotted little old Gladys in the grocery store. She was 14 at the time.
Holy cow. So, she ain't 14 in the documentaries.
No, she's a little bit older than 14.
I'm not saying you old Gladys. I'm just saying that was a long time ago.
When he spotted Gladys in the grocery store, he gave her a little wink wink. And eventually the two started dating and got married, and they had four kids. They had three daughters, Donna, Gail, and Linda. And then they had one adopted son. So, was it Gail and Linda in the documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. But I looked everywhere to find anything about the son. I couldn't find nothing. No name, no when they adopted, when nothing. Gladys put up with a lot of crap. Whenever Don would go to work, she would have to pack extra food for his lady friends.
Absolutely not. That's ridiculous.
So you're not going to pack extra food for Kenan's side women on the side?
No. Him and his little side girl will be on the side of the street.
That's what I'm saying. She knew about him. And apparently some of the girls would leave little notes for Gladys to find. And I'm like, that's wrong.
Oh, the sandwich was delicious. Thank you, Wifey.
But Gail made the comment that Don dated women that was younger than his kids.
Oh.
And it's like, she made the comment, it's like, how can you compete with that? Yeah, I guess you can't really compete with if your hubby wants somebody younger. But you leave them. Because that's nasty.
But he got money, so she wasn't going to leave.
But that's... when you're dating somebody younger than your daughter, that's like past midlife crisis, I feel like.
I feel like that's pedophile-ish.
Yeah. That's gross. I mean, his daughters could have been like 20, 30 at the time, but still, that's gross. Like, if you feed...
Yeah, but if your girlfriend's younger than 20, that's pedophile.
That is very true.
Sorry for anybody who dates really older, really younger people. Disclaimer.
But anyways,
we're not judging. We're just stating the stories.
We're stating the facts that were given to us from what we found on the internet. But Gladys always told Don, if the kids ever found out, I'm done. I'm leaving you. We're getting a divorce.
So that's the final straw, is if your kid finds out?
If the kid finds out.
I think the younger women and even other women would be the final straw for me.
That's what I thought too. So one day, oh God, I can't think of which one it was. Oh, Linda. Linda saw her dad and a different woman. First time they seen each other. Don introduced, and Linda said, she swears up and down it was Carol. She was introduced as a different name. And I can't think of what name it was, but it was like some weird name. And then the second time she met Carol, she was introduced as Carol. And she was like, okay, Dad, what is it?
Aren't
is it
you this Polly name or this name? Or Carol?
I'm trying to think what name you said the first time. But she was just like...
Babette?
But it was like, so is she this person or this person? And like, what is she? Is she your girlfriend or is she a friend? Like, who is she? So after, I guess, Linda told her mom that they say they're done with another woman, that is when Gladys decided, like, all right, we're done. It's over. We're getting a divorce. And... Don and Gladys got divorced in 1990, and then Carol and Mike finally got a divorce in 1991. So, as many of y'all know, Don was a multi-millionaire, and he earned most of his money by selling washing machines, repairing washing machines for like a huge profit. He sold used cars, and then where he made a huge part of his money was in real estate. He was known as a shark because he would buy up bad mortgages and then have the owners pay 18% interest. And then after 6 months, if the owners wasn't paid up, he would either sell the house or he would let the house foreclose on them.
Holy cow.
And so he made a lot of people mad.
Well, yeah. Now we know why he went missing. Because he made everybody mad.
Mm-hmm. And eventually, I don't have what date, and I've looked everywhere. I wish I knew what date. But eventually, Don and Carol, they actually did get married, as we all know. They had a itty-bitty teeny-tiny wedding, kind of like me.
Not like mine.
Not like yours. But I feel like their itty-bitty teeny-tiny wedding was even smaller than my itty-bitty tiny wedding. And my wedding was like
itty-bitty. It was. We counted it up. There was 11 people. That's including y'all and family.
I was thinking it was 10. I was close. Yeah. So that, and then we went out
to... No, because Keenan was there.
Oh, I guess I didn't count him. Because he took the picture. Yeah. So that's probably why I didn't count him. Okay. Because it was, I guess it was just 10 of us in the picture, mm-hmm. right? Okay. But, like, we had the little bitty small wedding. Then we went to Paula Deen's for our reception. Well, Don and Carol had a little bitty wedding at the courthouse. Just the two of them. Wearing white t-shirts and blue jeans. And then they went to Wendy's to celebrate.
Well, let me just say this. If for some reason my marriage does not work out, I am not planning another wedding. So, Kenny, you stuck with me forever. Not doing it. It was great. It was fun. But I'm not planning another wedding.
See, I'm glad I didn't have all those struggles.
It was... Well, on top of not getting sleep because your child don't want to sleep unless they're being held. And then on top of it, getting calls and... everything changing and COVID. No sleep. And then it's just like, I send a message and the person don't message right back. And I'm like, we don't even have these people anymore. And then later on, Keenan's like, well, how many days has it been? Oh, they responded back a couple hours later. He's like, you had a meltdown because of a couple hours? Are you kidding me? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm rested now, so we're good. Yeah, fun times. Not doing it again. Yep. That happened.
Alright, so back to the story. It's like side rant. So in 1994, Carol and Don went to a livestock auction to buy some animals to eat grass.
Okay. Some goats?
No, they wanted like... I didn't write it down, and I'm pretty sure that I'm, like, going to say it wrong, but, like, alpaca, or, I don't know, some...
Like a llama, that's a, alpaca is a llama.
Okay. They wanted something like that to eat the grass. I was thinking goats, like, but no, it was a different animal. And as they were there, because I'm just like, why don't you just get a lawnmower, like...
Because they had too much land. Wow. Why don't you just pay somebody to come...
Exactly, like... hire a lawn person. But as they were there, they were sitting there, and this little bitty 6-month-old bobcat came up, and Carol like was talking to the person beside her and was just like, oh, look at the cat. And the person was like, yeah, I want it, you know. And Carol was like, oh, that thing's gonna be vicious, and just kind of like making small talk, you know, to him about it. And she's like, well, or the guy was like, well, as soon as we leave here, I'm just going to, like, clock it in the parking lot, and then we're going to stuff it, and it's going to be in my living room.
Oh, God.
So, Kara was like, Don, we need this cat. And basically, they got in a bidding war, and Carol eventually won, and they came home with this little bitty bobcat that they name Winson.
Winson?
Winson.
Like, we won some animal.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought you said. Win some.
I think that's how
you win some animals.
That's kind of like how I wrote it down. It's W-I-N-S-U-N. S-U-N-G, whatever. I don't know if I'm...
But if you said it right, then it sounds like you win some cats.
Yeah.
You lose some cats. Was that the next one? Lose some?
Well, Don lost his life.
Oh, gosh.
But
well, that went
morbid. So, as Carol said to the taxidermist, it's like, that cat was devilish. Like, it was bad. It was horrible. And anytime Don would do anything, the cat would attack him. Because his cat stayed in their house. Who keeps a bobcat in their house?
It's a kitty cat.
But if anybody is looking for a new, I feel like this is like a little diet ad that we're going to like put in. If anybody is looking for a way to shed some pounds, you just need to get a bobcat.
And just run away from it.
Name Winsun, because it will sit on top of your refrigerator and then anytime you open that door,
it's going to
jump and attack you. That's a good way to lose 10 pounds real quick in a hurry, just like that.
Or your arm.
But basically, anytime Dawn would want to go to the refrigerator to get a drink, a snack, or anything, that cat would jump on his head and attack him.
So did he really go missing because of tigers or because of the bobcat?
I don't know.
Things we never know.
But eventually, Dawn and Carol were like, hey, Winsome is becoming a little bit of a problem, and we need to get him a friend.
Oh, yeah, because that sounds better. Not just one bobcat. Let's get two bobcats to attack me. Sold.
Well, the only reason I agree with that statement is because of Wilby. Wilby used to go, and for those that do not know, I have two pet pigs. Yes, I have pet pigs. But I had Wilby by himself first, and he liked to roam the subdivision behind our house, and anytime it rained, he would like to go underneath people's houses. And that was
and tear it up.
Not really tear it up. It's just, Wilby used to go under, like, people's houses, and they didn't like that too well. He never destroyed to where, like, it messed up anything that we had to, like, pay to fix. It's just the people didn't like us, and they didn't like that a
pig
was under their house rolling around in mud. But anyways, so whenever Anthony was just like, I'm going to buy you another pig. I don't know what made him cross his mind to buy another one if the one is misbehaving. But when we got Ruby, the two never escaped. Like, they stay in the pen, just peaceful. Like, we have not had any issues. But before that, he probably escaped 5-6 times.
That's crazy.
But once Ruby got out there with him, like, he was a perfect little angel. But anyways, so they get to this place in Minnesota, and they talk to a breeder, and they're looking around at tons of different cats. And Carol's like, how many cats do people buy here? And the breeder's like, oh no, we're basically a fur farm. And she turns to Don again and was like, Don, we need to buy some cats. And they came home that day with 56 cats.
Holy cow.
And I'm thinking, like, I'm hoping y'all had enough room for 56 cats at that time.
Did you see the cages that they were in?
They looked pretty bad on the documentary.
Okay. They looked bad, but it made her look worse considering she was like, I can't believe Joe Exotic will put cats in a cages. And then it was like, have you seen your cages, homie?
But I listened to one of the podcasts that I listened at the beginning. I can't remember which one. I think it might have been the Joe Exotic Tiger King. But he said that he went to her sanctuary. I wanted to call it a zoo. But he went to her sanctuary. And supposedly, her setup is a lot nicer
than what it shows.
whether or not it is, but I, from the documentary and pictures I've seen, I'm just like,
I can see where they would make it look worse than what it really is.
I'm just like, ooh, like, honey, you ain't got room to talk. But apparently, like, hers is supposedly a lot nicer than what the documentary presented. So I'm hoping so, because
it was not nice.
It was,
well, she was making herself look like she was alive.
Like, girl, your animal's going to a little bitty small kennel to eat. Like, what? But
they barely can open their mouth.
I know. On November 4th, 1992, Wildlife on NC Street officially opened. And it's a good thing because they already had, what, 57 cats at this time? So it's like they needed somewhere to keep these animals. And Dawn owned, before the two got married, 40 acres of land north of Tampa. And so they basically just put all of the animals there and was like, we'll breed them and, you know, sell them. And
wait, didn't she, like, disagree with the whole breeding?
She disagreed with that. And she disagreed with this next statement that I was going to say. They had a Wildlife on Izzy Street bed and breakfast. So where you could stay in a cabin with a baby cat for $75 a night.
Oh, and you could take a picture with it, which she disagrees with?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So after she decided she wanted to become a sanctuary, her and Dawn didn't really see eye to eye. And at this point, it was like Dawn was more about the dollar signs and selling the cats, breeding the cats. How could he make more money than actually protecting the cats from what happened to them once they left? And he was going back and forth between Florida and Costa Rica, and he bought 40 acres. He bought 200 acres of land, and that's where he eventually wanted to move the sanctuary. And in June of 1997, 2 months before Dawn went missing, Carol and Dawn got in this huge fight. Dawn loved to go junkyard buying or yard selling. I don't know if he went to, like, junk stores or if he went to yard sales, but he was somewhat known as a hoarder, and he would just buy all kinds of stuff, and I don't know if it was, like, just truly junk or, like, actually good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but he would buy stuff, and one time when he was in Costa Rica, Carol hired two dump truck drivers to come and remove stuff from the house.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
And when Dawn came back, he was furious, and he ended up calling the cops. So during this time, like, that they got in the fight, she supposedly threatened to kill him and all this kind of madness. So he files for a protection order against Carol. He said that she threatened to kill him. She had people remove stuff from his house. She took his guns. And like we know, he wanted to get the protection order, but the protection order was denied. And I'm just putting my two cents in, but I have full respect for police officers, but I do not think that they take domestic violence cases serious until it's too late. But then I know, again, it's like you can't be too precautious before you have, you know, like, I don't know.
It's a fine line in what they can and cannot do, and they have to protect that fine line. But also, on the other end, it's frustrating because,
like, if you're a victim.
Right, but my thing is, and I know this is what blows my mind, is if you go to get a restraining order, you have to give that
person your address.
Your address not to go. So to me, that's like, okay, well, they're not technically messing with you at that place, but here's a target to put on your back so they can. So it's like either you don't get a restraining order and they don't know where you are, or And technically, they can't really do anything if that person comes there because there's not a restraining order. Like, so yes, there's fine lines, but it doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. But they, it makes sense on their end because how can they tell somebody not to go somewhere if they don't know where they're going? But at the same point,
it's you just don't like, want that person to know where you are if you're hiding.
Right. I mean, it there's a fine line.
It's just crazy though. But Dahl was a smart guy, and he took those papers and he gave them to Anne. And remember, Anne's the co-worker,
the sweet little lady.
The little old lady. I don't know. I feel like she would just be like a little sweet old lady.
But is she really old or was she younger?
I mean, I think she's like in her 50s or so. Please, if you're not, then don't judge me. But he gave her the papers and he's like, keep these in a safe place. And if anything happens to me, make sure you give these to the police. And fun fact, Anne got a part of his $1.25 million insurance policy.
What?
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until he went missing, after he went missing, that documents were found that she was sending money to Costa Rica. And she sent $435,000 to Costa Rica.
But is that like a cover-up or is that like investment or...
Nobody knows. Like, nobody knows if she was sending it for him to do something down there, if it was to pay for his land and house down there, if it was because he told her, if it was embezzling, if it's because they were planning on
him there.
Going missing. Like, nobody knows. So, on August 15th, 1997, Dahl came in the office telling Anne, he's like, it's over, I'm done, I'm fed up, I can't handle Carol no more, we got in a fight with her daughter, about her daughter, and I can't take these fights anymore. And Anne made the comment, like, this fight was different, like, it was not the normal, like, Carol and Dahl fight. She said, Dahl left the house and he stayed in back of a semi-truck.
Oh. Like, but aren't semis, like, really fancy with, like, kitchens and beds and everything but a shower?
I don't know. Like, see, whenever I took it, I was thinking, like, not in the actual cab of the vehicle. I mean, he could have been, but, like, in the back, like... What they haul is what I was imagining.
He was
imagining.
In a freezer of Dollar General's truck.
But, I mean, if it was, like, in legit bed and bathroom and stuff, then okay.
They ain't no bathroom. That's why they got truck stops for the showers. I said everything but a shower.
Well, I didn't hear that part. Tamara, I already told you about him wanting... to move the sanctuary over to Costa Rica, yeah. Right? And how large the land was.
Yeah.
Well, he had a house on the land.
Okay.
He had two guards on the land. And he had a girlfriend.
Surprise!
I know you're like, what?
Was Carol making him lunches too?
I don't know if Carol was making her lunches or the girlfriend lunches. I don't know. But during the time that Dahl, you know, this is like before he went missing. Like when he was getting ready to go to Costa Rica for this trip, he went, he got his tickets, he loaded up the truck, he was going to head to Miami, then he was going to go to the bank, get out money, and then go on his trip. Well, during this time, he withdrawed $200,000 from his personal bank account.
Oh, cha-ching. That's just chunk change.
Like, if Kenan withdrawed $2,000 from your bank account, would you not be like,
yeah, I'd be like, what's
hello?
That
hello, like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. I'd be like, if
I'd be like, where'd you get that money?
I'd be like, Anthony, like, what are you about to buy? Because I know you're about to do something with that. Because anytime you come home with money, you're about to buy a four-wheeler or a boat or tools or a building or something. Like, you like to make big purchases. Like, what are you about to purchase with $200,000? I need to know. I need to brace myself for this big dollar purchase. So,
but I think if I had that much money and I was a multimillionaire, I wouldn't even notice in the bank account. Like, that was missing because there's so many digits, it'd be hard to be like, wait, was that two there or was that a four there?
Must be nice.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, hypothetically.
It would be nice. During this time, like, Dawn's kind of like mid-trip, heading out. Well, Anne's trying to get a hold of him. She tries all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and nothing. Not a text, not a call, not nothing. So eventually she finally gets Carol on the phone Sunday. And she's like, hey, do you know where Dawn is? Carol's like, nope, is there a problem? Anne's like,
is there a problem? That's how I would see her saying it.
Anne was just like, yeah, I need him to, like, answer these questions or do something other for the business. Like, we got to take care of this while he's down there. And she's just like, oh, well, this is something he normally does all the time. He just basically up, goes, leaves, and doesn't answer phone calls, apparently. And Anne's like, no, this is not Dawn. Like, this is not his personality. He doesn't just go missing and not answer my phone calls.
So was she like a side piece too?
She said she was one of the only women that he did not mess with.
Hmm.
But Carol reported Dawn missing the next day at 1:30.
That's autumn. I went to say odd and random time, but it came out as that's an autumn.
That's an autumn.
Let me just put my feet up for a minute on the autumn.
But I'm just like, if you have a hunch that something's wrong, like you don't know for sure something's wrong
with
your husband.
What if she was like, okay, he does this, thinking her logic, like, oh, well, he gets mad, he leaves, whatever. And then she was like,
he knows he's supposed to be going on this trip.
Right, but if she said he does this, so for instance, he does this to her, so she's like, well, this ain't weird. I'll try to reach out to him. I'll give him 24 hours. If I don't hear anything in 24 hours, then I'll reach out. Mm. Maybe that's what it was. Or she already fed him to the tigers and wanted to clean up her stuff.
True.
You know. Or one of the other girlfriends got mad.
But Dawn's van was found at a small airport 40 miles away in Spring Hill, Florida. The keys were laying on the floor mat. His briefcase was found in the van. And I think he had some clothes. And I don't know what I was about to say when I was like, clothing. He had clothing.
He got clothing in there.
He had some clothes in the van also. And they're like, okay, well, maybe he flew? But
he forgot his keys and his clothes.
But they're like, the plane sets at this small airport. There's no way that it would fly him
all the way without stopping to get gas.
Correct. And they checked, and no flights had record of either of his passports. Like, dude had two passports.
That's sketchy.
I know, right? He had one
He might have had a secret one, so he may be somewhere around up in here with his third secret passport as Bob what?
Martin.
Bob Martin. Where you at, Bob Martin?
So he had one as Don Lewis, and then he had one as Jack Don Lewis. Those were the two passports. But no record of either passport ever leaving, flying anywhere, checking in anywhere. And then June 1998.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. Cops contacted Carol, was like, hey, we have an unidentified body that washed up on shore. This could be Dawn. Carol goes, checks the body. She probably knew at this time, like, you know, he's gone, like, his bones, and he gone.
Well, what if it, hypothetically, what if it really was him and she was like, Now we're going to say it's not.
I don't know.
Like, what if it was so hard to describe that she was just like, no, not that's not him.
No, well, that's basically what happened. Well, I don't know, like, Tamara's story.
Hypothetically, she's not agreeing with that.
She went and said, no, this is not my husband. And then Carol was talking to the cops and gave them the theory that it's possible that he was flying his plane under the radar because his license was no longer active. And he's showing signs of Alzheimer's and dementia. Maybe he's just lost. And that's where we're going to leave today's story.
To be continued.
To be continued. So we're going to find out a little bit more about Don Lewis.
Next week. And
then tons more about Carol and Joe. And you have a dum-dum of the day?
So what do you think would be the craziest thing to happen to get arrested for?
I have no clue.
Okay. Well, this man was arrested for attacking a minion.
A minion?
A like, minion. Like, on the newspaper, it's three little minions.
He attacked Despicable Me?
No, the minions of Despicable Me. It seems like there was alcohol that was probably involved in this.
Not duh!
Yeah, so 2 years ago, a man was arrested for attacking a minion on the Daytona Beach boardwalk. Apparently, they did not like the costume the man was wearing to promote the local business, so he knocked him down and just kicked him.
So this is why Disney and Six Flags have the little bodyguards walking around.
Probably. Well, this guy was sentenced for 10 days in jail and a year of probation and will have to pay for the damage of the costume. Yeah, totally rude.
Poor Despicable Me minion.
I know, he was just trying to do his job.
If I could speak like a minion right now, so would I.